This is Block by Block, a community news program from WPPM LP 106.5 FM, where we explore issues affecting the Philadelphia area with news reports from members of the community. My name is Shania Weich.
And I'm Oscar Castro. In the next half hour, we'll hear four stories about Philadelphia's art scene, including reports from our team of community journalists about Philadelphia's youth poet laureate, a longtime Philadelphia poet who co-founded a spoken word dance party, and Philadelphia music producer Bill Jolly.
But first, a tight-knit community of artists in Philadelphia wants to connect performing arts professionals with health and wellness resources through a platform they call Sick With It. My co-host, Oscar Castro, spoke with one of the founders to find out more.
The issue of healthcare and overall wellness affects many in the creative industries in Philadelphia and around the nation, but we too often don't talk about the data and the prevalence of people in the art world dying young, or how the lack of financial stability can impact their mental and physical health, even if they are working often and making good money. I recently met up with Stephanie Renee, culture curator, vocalist, and former radio host, to discuss the evolution of her creation, Sick With It, and her mission to raise awareness and direct resources to creators in our city who might need some extra community support.
The pandemic was particularly significant for me personally because right before Thanksgiving in 2019, I was diagnosed with a chronic form of leukemia that almost took me out of here. I got to the doctors just in time to save my own life and to get treatment that has now put me back on a path to good health. But it was very touch and go there for the week before Thanksgiving 2019.
Stephanie's health scare was a wake-up call for her and inspired her to co-found Sick With It, which originally started out as a podcast focused on health and wellness consciousness during the pandemic, and then it evolved into a symposium dedicated to the health and wellness of local Philadelphia artists and creators.
2023 was incredibly devastating to the cultural community, losing people way too early to preventable disease. And so after losing Azelle Dixon, a very beloved organist, keyboardist here in Philadelphia, promoter Tony Allen with Walking Bear Management, and I were at a birthday party for Deanna Williams when we got the news that Azelle had passed. And in that moment of devastation, we looked at each other and said, not one more person. What can we do to change things so that our peers are not passing away in rapid succession? And that's where kind of rebirthing Sick With It as an event, as a movement came about. And we gathered people that were in the room for Deanna's birthday party and said, if we got resources together, would you come and be a part of it? Would you be able to bring some financial resources to us so that we could secure a space and do some of the other things that we thought were necessary? And the seeds of what has now grown to be Sick With It were really planted at that event.
Artists and musicians exhibit a notably high rate of self-employment, often engaging in various jobs with irregular schedules. Before the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, artists frequently encountered difficulties in accessing group health care coverage. However, with the ACA in effect, there is evidence suggesting an increase in the number of insured artists. Nevertheless, there are still many artists and creators who don't prioritize their health.
It's not so much that many people can't afford health care. It's where does it fall in the priority level of the things that you are already taking care of in your life. And sometimes our self-care falls to the very bottom of that priority list, and it shouldn't. There are people out here that have sliding scale fees. There are all kinds of ways to manage the resources that you do have in order to get care. So we're trying to bring that to a brighter light. And then the reality is that the paperwork, filling out the form, disclosing income and all the other things that might be required for you to be insured is a process that people struggle with a lot.
In December of 2023, Stephanie organized the first Sick With It symposium featuring various kinds of physical, emotional, mental, and financial health practitioners who came to share information and support participants to think about the changes that they can make in their lives to enhance their well-being as artists and creators.
Tony Allen and I, we've been buddies for a long time. When I was coming up through the ranks doing my own performances, he was the guy that was always in charge of putting these big promotional events together. So the fact that he and I were there in the same room getting this devastating news just drew us to each other, like how can we use our respective circles in order to make a change. And so I'm really thankful that he has been pulling on his knowledge of putting together big events as well as his big heart to inform this process. And he brought Andre Capers to the conversation. And Andre is a holistic health practitioner. He also treats a lot of creatives. So he knows what we're dealing with before some of us are willing to admit what we're dealing with. And he has a holistic approach to making things better. He's been very instrumental in bringing the health practitioners that he knows from his own community to the table.
A survey conducted by Arts Health Network Canada found that 62% of artists reported neglecting their physical health due to their artistic endeavors. However, when artists and health professionals join forces, their collaboration can yield impactful results that transcend traditional boundaries. By leveraging the creativity and innovative thinking of artists alongside the structure and resources of dedicated practitioners, new avenues for problem solving, community engagement, and cultural enrichment can emerge.
From the symposium, we secured sickwithit.net. And what we've been doing with that platform is we've created a digital resource guide so that people who say, I'm not crazy about doctors, that they're aware that there are all kinds of holistic health practitioners that exist in the city and people that will not just work on your physical well-being, but also your mental well-being, your emotional well-being, and your financial well-being. And we're also expanding Sick With It Symposia as more of an interactive kind of approach. The first one was more fair style. This next one we're planning on doing as a streaming webinar so that we can have people in the room, we can have people log in from elsewhere and ask questions so that people don't feel that they're alone in whatever their challenges might be and that we can bring answers directly to them and then create that as content for the podcast for the people that couldn't be available on the date.
To learn more about Sick With It and how you can support their work, visit sickwithit.net, spelled sickwithit.net. And to learn more about Stephanie, visit stephanierenee.com. This is Oscar Castro with Block by Block.
Philadelphia's Youth Poet Laureate is a senior at Cristo Rey High School in North Philadelphia. Block by Block reporter Barbara Martin Ellis recently sat down with her to talk about her poetry, her plans for the future, and how she got interested in poetry in the first place.
My name is Oyewumi Oyeni. I am a senior at Cristo Rey Philadelphia High School. And my love for poetry started really, really early on. And it wasn't always poetry. It was writing in general. Well, writing and reading. I've been a big reader since I could talk. Since I could, like, open my eyes, I was a reader. And as I got older, I was like, I can use this to express myself in a way that I can't always at home. I'm Liberian and Nigerian. My parents went through a lot of stuff back when I was, like, a refugee. It's not their thing to sit and talk about their feelings. And so I could just turn to poetry, pick a pencil and like some paper and say, I'm feeling this way right now.
Philadelphia Youth Poet Laureate Oyewumi Oneyi's poems explore ideas about family, identity, youth violence, and popular culture from her perspective as a young person in this city. You can hear some of those themes in this poem.
When sirens are your lullaby, and screams follow you into your dreams, you learn some things. The first thing you learn is to clear a path when the first responders come. Do not take up space. Do not cry. Be methodical. Be calm. The second thing you learn is to comfort the younger ones. Send some to bed. Corral others into the warmth of your arms. The only stability found in a rocked foundation. The third thing you learn is to comfort the older ones. Provide solutions. Provide instructions. Radiate calm that they can draw from. Water in a barren wasteland. The fourth thing you learn is that your body will make itself known eventually. The numbness will fade. Memories will flash through your mind like lights. Moments once negligible, now encircling you.
That's Oyewumi Oneyi reading the beginning of her poem, Wind Sirens. Can you tell me what inspired your poem?
So my family is very big. There's around 10 of us now, and most of us are kids. But growing up, my grandma and my grandpa had cancer and diabetes. My grandmother had breast cancer. And so there would be times when the chemo would be too much for her, and she'd have to call the ambulance and, like, help her get better. And that happened when I was very, very young. My grandfather would also have health episodes as well. And so the ambulance would just always be at the house. And because I was the third oldest, I couldn't just shy away and cry or freak out. I had to be there to, like, support my family. As I got older and my brother developed mental health issues and my sister would be away for work or for college, I became kind of the foundation. And so I would just, like, push things down and down and down. Like, I wouldn't cry if I had to comfort my siblings. I'll just wait until later. And that manifested in, like, nightmares and panic attacks. And as I've grown older, it stayed with me. If I'm in a bad environment or situation or state, I won't panic under pressure then, but after, it'll just, like, rush over me and I'll be almost immobilized. So it's things like that. And that's really common in our community, in Philadelphia, in our neighborhoods, because we're always going through something. If it's not gun violence, if it's not this, it's that. And so we kind of just develop these almost PTSD for these events, and I wanted to kind of put in some words and say, you're not alone. I've been here too. I feel this.
And so what does the job as the Youth Poet Laureate of Philadelphia, what does that entail?
I get to do a lot of stuff around the city. So I go from event to event and I read my work there. Like recently, when Mayor Sherelle Parker was inaugurated, there is an event celebrating Women's History Month and honoring her, as well as Miss Sonia Chanchez, who is an icon to me, the first ever poet laureate of Philadelphia. I was spellbound. And so I got to go there and read a piece I wrote about what it is to be a woman, a black woman, one of color, a disabled woman, a queer woman in the U.S., and kind of like how you kind of follow each other's footsteps a little bit. Like, you laid this foundation for me, I'm following it. Thank you for that. And then going to events, I left the Germantown Friends Library and talking about domestic abuse, things like that, when they had an event for that.
Oyewumi is headed to Harvard this fall, where she plans to study pre-med.
I am very excited to head to Harvard, also very nervous. I've never been that far away from home for that long. And it's cold in Philly, but it's colder in Cambridge. And so I'm definitely excited to get started. But there's always that fear, being a minority, going into, like, a new space of, like, how am I going to be welcomed here? What am I going to face here? And so that doesn't dull it, but it does kind of ground me a little bit. I think just recently Harvard got rid of their human flesh bound book that was in the library. And so it's just things like that, that are, I'm going here, but I'm going here for a reason. I'm going here to share the voice of my community. I'm going here to make an impact, make a difference. And I'm going here to learn and be answered at the same time. It's like balancing all of that.
Thank you so much. And where can we find your poetry?
If somebody wanted to find my poetry, they would have to go to my Poet Laureate Instagram right now. I'm trying to get it published, but in the meantime, you can head to PHL_Oyewumi, and I'll pop up over there, and you can read my works over there.
Every month, a group of poets and fans of poetry gather for a spoken word dance party called House Poet. Block by Block reporter Kassir Carter spoke with co-founder Warren C. Longmire to find out more about House Poet, Longmire's journey through Philadelphia's poetry scene, and his efforts to build a community of artists.
Warren C. Longmire grew up in North Philadelphia around the Strawberry Mansion area. He sunk his teeth deep into the local poetry scene as early as 2002 while attending the University of Penn. He would hang out at the Kelly Writers House and watch performances. He would go on to participate as well from time to time. Longmire says his love of poetry is an extension of his lifelong fascination with language and connecting words to art.
I was a Lego kid, like, growing up. I just liked to put things together, and the idea that you could take something that felt as fixed as words and language and be able to just create crazy things, whether it be sound or meaning or power or emotion, that was just exciting to play with. And so it was purely out of that originally. And then once I started discovering spoken word and slam, and then open mics in general, just like the rawness that people had being on stage and the way that you can kind of like hold people's attention and the power that came with it, the change that comes with it, it was just very inspiring.
As a Black and queer man, Longmire's poetry is a reflection of his identity. He says each poem he shares with the world impacts his own growth.
I like to hold on to the idea that everything I do is a thing that Black people do. Like, there's no way that I can do something that's not Black. Because, like, internally and externally, it's really easy to kind of put boxes around what our expression is. That's really important to me because it means, as a Black man, it's even more important for me to expand myself and to try new things and to have a lot of, like, joy and creativity and curiosity in the way that I make art. There's something about going on stage and doing poems about, like, traumas that happened in your life. Or, like, I mean, I'm bisexual, so, like, being able to get to a point where I could write a poem and to read a poem on stage and to accept that, it's always going to be a major moment in your life to be able to do that. It becomes intertwined in what you're able to accept inside of yourself. So every major step in self-realization, poems have always come along with it.
As well as being an active Philly poet, Longmire is also co-founder and co-host of House Poet, possibly the city's only spoken word dance party. The community is led by Longmire and Aaron Gadberry, who hosts open mic events for poets, DJs, and dancers. They host events quarterly at venues like The Foundation, A Bar Underneath, The Divine Lorraine, and Fergie's Pub. House Poet celebrated its second anniversary on March 16th, which also happens to be Longmire's birth month. During the event that night, some poets paid tribute to him and the organization during their performances. Here's a performance of The Direction of Dopeness, written and performed by the community of House Poet.
Walk through means, tell the truth. You tap back, that beat alive in you. Morse techno code, moving feet under angles in the disco moon.
Voice of the generations, before and after, connected by the pulse of an electro underground, bubbling upwards.
Caught a glimpse of you in the dive bar, twinkle lights, caught a glimpse and couldn't drop it. A laugh with a boom that could cradle a room. Mortar between the bricks and words, holding this community together, a verse unveiling truth's facade.
Warren Longmire. His words inspire a wordsmith with fire.
Lovely luck building a house with you. Mind made up, divisions written from words we place as foundation in divine light.
Longmire told me about a favorite of his poems, To Be, which is about an ever-growing dance floor that makes space for everything and everyone in existence. For Longmire, the poem resonates with the essence of the community he's helped create.
Originally, what I thought was that it was a show about giving poets a place where they could dance, let their hair down, and socialize in a way that doesn't often happen in poetry scenes. Because, you know, it just can be quiet, and it can be a little stiff. And I was like, yeah, we could use some more music. We could use people interacting in a different way. And that's happening. But what's even better is having people who go to raves and who, like, dance every weekend, having them go to their first open mic. Because dancers are a completely different type of artist. And it's all completely for themselves. They know they're not going to make any money off of it for the most part. And seeing them have their first experience diving inside of their poems has been really, really rich.
According to Longmire, the two-year-old community he has built with Gadberry has laid the groundwork for friendships to grow and opportunities for spoken word artists to express themselves. His hope for the future is that he can continue the impact that the community has had on each artist involved and inspire them to continue using their words to make their own impact.
In times past, in Philadelphia specifically, there's been a real sense of leadership among poets, and it leads to people who are outspoken in one way or another, and outspoken advocates. And I think that kind of died down. And so I'm really hoping to see more poets just being engaged and public and reaching out and connecting across genres. I'm really interested in now. across socioeconomic stations, across language is happening a lot more. There just needs to be more openness, more acceptance, more commingling so that we can all increase our own power as worker of words. I think that we don't give ourselves enough credit for what our medium does to move people and to create change and to create openness.
House Poets' next show is scheduled for sometime in May, but in the meantime, you can follow them on Instagram at House Poet Philly to stay up to date, and you can find Longmire on his account, A Longmire Writer, to check out his work. This has been Kai Sear Carter for Block by Block.
Musician Bill Jolly has been performing and making music in the region for decades. Jolly is a keyboardist and drummer who has composed music for TV and movies, he's won 3 Emmy Awards, and he's performed before 5 U.S. presidents. Block by Block reporter Sherry Pennington recently caught up with the Philadelphia native to talk about some of the highlights of his musical journey.
What inspired you to become the man you are? People have referred to you as the Quincy Jones of Philadelphia. What got you involved? When did this all begin?
When I was a kid, I just was one of those kids that used to bang on a desk all the time. And I probably did beatbox back in the day, probably before it all started out. I just had all this energy and this rhythm in my mind. I heard the music of James Brown, and that really inspired me. I just wanted to be the drummer in James Brown's band. So my parents bought me some bongos. I beat a hole in them. They bought me some a drum set. I beat a hole in that. But then they bought me a real drum set. I got that. And then we put a little band together in junior high school. And after that, the piano player quit. We couldn't find a piano player. And every piano player I asked to join the band said, no, you guys can't play. One day I got frustrated. I said, I'm never going to be without a piano player again. And that's basically kind of how everything started off. And once I got to Overbrook High School, which is my alma mater, my mentor, George Allen, he was really the guy who shaped me and molded me and everything else. And once I got to him, everything kind of opened up from there. I really kind of at one point started to feel like, well, maybe I can do this music thing.
So how old were you when you took on this initiative for the band and learning the piano? Because you had only done drums. And what was that process like?
Like I say, it was really just out of frustration. Just like everybody just kept
lessons?
Telling me. No, I didn't. When I got to college, the only class I ever failed in my entire life was piano 101 in college. I failed.
Okay.
Got a big old F.
Right.
I was self-taught. I could play all the tunes that you'd want to hear at a party, and Cool the Gang and Earth, Wind & Fire. I could play all of those tunes, but yes. I couldn't play a lot of that other stuff.
What was one of your most exciting projects then that you're most proud of?
I got a chance to conduct the orchestra for the PBS special on The Sound of Philadelphia, which was really wonderful.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then I also, in Philly, there's the Marian Anderson Awards. And I took over for the Marian Anderson Awards for 8 years. And actually, I replaced the Philadelphia Orchestra as the music director for the Marian Anderson Awards.
Yes.
The other thing I was really proud of was a non-musical thing. I got a chance to give the commencement speech at my alma mater, my college, Westchester University.
Westchester University.
Yeah.
Bill, how do you really approach the creative process?
Creative people have their own little language and their own little way of doing things. And I think what happens is people who think outside the box, and we look at things like, I have a daughter. My daughter's name is Bianca. When she was little, I used to do this thing called, what is this? So I would show her a cup. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, what is this? And she'd say, a cup. And I'd say, no, it's a swimming pool for small people. I've kind of realized like a long time ago that the most important thing for me was not necessarily to be an artist, but to help the other people who want to be artists. Because me being an artist takes a whole bunch of phone calls and running out and doing this, and I don't want to do that. But I help other people who want to be artists. I have my own recording studio, and the most important thing that I do is I work with anybody who has an idea or something that they wanted to do musically, and maybe people don't understand you.
How do you get to inspire and engage people for your music?
You know, when I was coming up, I used to ask people all the time if they would show me things on the piano. And people would say, no, I'm not showing you anything. I said, can I just come and watch? They would say, no. I don't know why they would like that. And so I vowed, I said, if I ever got to the point where I knew something, I was not going to be that way. So anybody who asked me, they want to know something, or let's talk about it, I'll show it to you. It's not a big deal, you know? If you've been blessed, we're supposed to give back.
What else have you done? Have you always aspired to be a musician? Was there any other path that you wanted to take?
Yeah, if I wasn't a musician, I was going to be a professional baseball player. I mean, I wake up every day and to get to do something that I love, that also makes other people really, really happy. You know, when I leave someplace, people are happy. Every year, I go away on vacation and I try to write a list of what I want to do with my life. I call it my little naked assessment. So I write, this is what I did well, this is what I didn't do well, and here's what I want to do.
Okay.
So this one particular year I wrote, it really is about putting your mind where you see it. And as crazy as that is, that's what it is. I remember when I was in junior high school, and my three biggest fears were skydiving, sharks, scuba diving and ziplining. So I went off the world's largest zip line. I scuba dived with sharks in Australia without a cage.
Are you kidding me?
And I jumped out of an airplane.
Wow.
Over Mexico. You know, I try to tell people all the time, life is very, very short. And, we have to find ways to push our own envelope to live our best life, because, tomorrow's not promised for any of us.
Right.
So just think about what you want to do in life. And then just do it. Just do it. It just, it frees you up.
So what you up to nowadays? What's next on the agenda?
April 4th, I'm going to be at South with my band. I just finished a production on gospel legend Shirley Caesar. So I'm really happy as the co-writer and producer of that.
So if people want more information about contacting you any information,
they can just go to my website. It's BillJolly.com. Just like it sounds, Jolly, like Jolly Old St. Nick, BillJolly.com. And you can catch up with the latest, and you can send me an email, or this phone number there, it's all that kind of stuff.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, I appreciate you.
Block by Block is produced by Kassir Carter, David Cheney Jr., Mish Casadas, Jen DeVore, Barbara Martin Ellis, Thomas Hagen, POC, Sunny Morgan, Sherry Pennington, and us,
Oscar Castro,
and Shania Weitch. Thomas Hagen is our board operator for tonight's show.
Brad Linder is Radio News Managing Editor for WPPM. Peter Liu is Radio Operations Manager, and Allison Durham is WPPM's Radio Program Manager. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Block by Block featuring more stories about issues affecting life in the Philly region. And you can find past episodes of the show on PhillyCam's SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Thanks for listening.